Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Oh, God's so good, isn't he? He's so good. If you don't know how good God is, just stick around. We'll be glad to show you through His Word how good He is, through our lives how good He is, amen? Because God is good. If you've heard something different, you got the wrong story, amen? And so, anyway, but today, what's going on today? Something important going on. It's Super Bowl Sunday. We say every Sunday is a Super Sunday, right? But today's Super Bowl Sunday, and so we got, I know a lot of people are really, really, really into the Super Bowl. And, you know, every year we kind of like to do a little poll to see which team is most popular here at BVC. And so it was just for the raise of hands, how many people are rooting for the Broncos? The Broncos. How many Bronco fans? Uh-oh, we got trouble here. We got a house divided right there. All right, we're going to pray for you guys. All right, now how many fans, how many people are rooting for the Dolphins? No, I'm just kidding. Well, we are Dolphin fans, of course, because we're down here in South Florida, but they're not playing today. How many fans we got of the Seattle Seahawks? How many Seahawks fans we got? Seriously? Wow. How many nacho fans do we have? You're just looking for the nachos at Super Bowl parties. You're just going for the nachos, the chicken wings, right? It's all about the food. We don't really care who wins. The commercials. It's all just about the food. You know, I watched a couple, they put the commercials sometimes online faster, but I think the funniest commercial I've seen so far is the Tim Tebow commercial. Has anybody seen it? It is hysterical. I don't want to blow it for you. You haven't seen it yet, but it's just really great to see Tim Tebow, you know, just being used by the Lord all over. But he's got a great commercial for T-Mobile, of all things. And so anyway, when you watch it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But I don't want to give it away. And of course, we're not beer fans, but how many saw the Budweiser commercial with the little dog? Yeah, you know. I like the dog. I don't like the beer, but I like the dog, you know, and the big horse, the Clydesdale. But anyway, tonight is Super Bowl Sunday, and super fun. I remember we had Sunday night service here at church for years and years, and it was always really impressive to see how many people would come out for Super Bowl Sunday and still come to church. And so that was always cool. But anyway, we don't have Sunday night service anymore. We were delivered from that. I'm just kidding. You know, when you do, we did multiple services in the morning. It just was very hard on all of our volunteers, the band, the praise. That's a lot. And so that's why it took about 2 years of prayer through Pastor Norm and Pastor Scott and I. We prayed because we knew it was a big decision. But I believe it was the right one after all these years. And now we can all watch the Super Bowl or the commercials, whatever it is you're watching. But anyway, I'm excited about today because I got a good message for you today. And, you know, it's all about the big game today. And today I want to talk to you about another game. And it's a game that we play every day. And you've probably heard this expression, but it's the game of life. Amen. And so there's big, big thing about the big game today. But every day we play the game of life, right? Yes. And so we got the football up here, the game of life. So we'll just have a little fun today with that. But have some real truth because, you know, life really isn't a game, but, you know, we hear that expression, your life is very important, you only live once, right? And what we do here on this earth determines what's going on in heaven. The Bible says we have treasures in heaven, amen? And I don't know about you, but when I get there, whether I fly, whether Jesus returns before I go, or I die at a nice old age, whichever way, but when I get to heaven, I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen? And so we play this game. So, you know, the prize for us is eternal life. And, you know, the real winners, there are real winners and real losers. Of course, when people don't have Jesus in their life, how many know their life isn't going to be winning? It may look like it's winning on the outside, but you know what? What's going on the inside is more important than anything. What happens for eternity is more important than anything that happens here on this earth. You know, you ever think about that? I was having breakfast with a friend the other day, and we were talking, and her parents are getting older, as my father's getting older, and my mom passed away a few years ago, and both of her parents are still alive, and she said, you know, my dad's 80. He'll be 81 this year. Her parents are the same. And she said, you know, how did you deal with your mom going? How did you deal with that? And, you know, it's just, she goes, I just can't even think about, you know, my mom. I just can't even think about it. If I think about it, man, and I told her, I said, you know, I said, as believers, the Bible says, death, where is your sting? And I said, as believers, it's important to remember when someone you love has gone on to be with Jesus, it's important what helps us through. The reason that death doesn't have the same effect, of course, we still miss those that we love and our heart breaks because they're not here to see moments in our lives that we want them to see. But, you know, the Bible says there's a great cloud of witnesses watching over. So they're seeing a lot more than we think. But I encouraged her. I said, when you are a believer and you lose someone you love, and they also are a believer, you have to remember that you're going to be with them in eternity, which is so much longer than anything we'll experience here. We'll be with them longer than we can even fathom or imagine. And so we may be separated now for this short time, but you know what? We're going to be together for literally, think about it, literally eternity, forever. There is no end. We're going to be with them so much, we're just going to be like, still, you know, how long, right? You know, I need a break. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, eternity is so long. And so when we think about life here on this earth, we have to always remember, you know, there are disappointments in life. There are things that happen. Maybe you're not where you think you should be or whatever, but you know, we've got eternity to look forward to. Eternity with God, eternity with Jesus, eternity with angels singing, eternity. We'll get to know Moses. Yeah. Amen. We'll get to know Paul. We'll get to know John. We'll get to know everybody, you know, and so eternity is so huge and so great. It's something it's hard for us even to wrap our natural heads around because we live on a 24-hour cycle. 365 days, you know, 7 days in a week. You know, that's how our minds work. And so it's hard for us to fathom that there is a place where time does not end. And that place is heaven. Amen. And with Jesus, that's where we're going. But you know what? Life without Jesus doesn't look like that. It looks completely different. And so the life we lead here on this earth, we have to be sure that we, when we play the game of life, that we are eternity minded. Amen. Eternity minded. You might look at things differently when you have an eternity mindset. You might look at, you know, things that are disappointing or things that hurt your feelings. You might be like, you know what? In the view of eternity, this really doesn't matter. Amen. This really doesn't matter. And so, you know, when we're thinking about life and what's going on, just got a few things for you here. Just some facts about the game of life. And again, number one, the prize is eternal life and eternal death. And we, you know, we got to make sure that we got Jesus in our life because that's where we spend eternity with him when he's in our life. Number two thing about the game of life, and this is a good one, you got to play by the rules. You ever met somebody that just doesn't want to play by the rules? How many see that their lives usually don't work out very well? Somebody just bucks authority constantly. This doesn't work out that well. In the game of life, you got to play by the rule. And you know what? Over in John 13, let's look there. John 13, we're going to look at verse number 34. Here is the rule. The rule. You know, it's not even the Big Ten. How many know what those are, the Big Ten Commandments? You know, nope, that's not what we got to keep our mind on. Jesus gave us a new rule. And he said this in John 13, looking at verse number 34. Jesus said there's one rule, one commandment, one law to live by. So if you've got this big, long list of things that you're trying to keep going, Jesus said, listen, throw that list away and just write this one thing down. One thing. Say one thing with me.
One thing.
One thing. He says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must also love one another. That's pretty good, isn't it? Jesus said, listen, you know what? The Ten Commandments, those are great, those are good. But he says, he basically said, I can put all of that together into one thing. One thing. You got to love people. You got to love one another. And that's where that eternity mindset really helps out, because, you know, again, some things that people say or do, and they hurt our feelings, and, you know, it's not right. And, you know, there are times when things are not right that happen to you, and you are a victim in a situation. But when you go to eternity, you're thinking, you know what, this was wrong and this hurt, but I've got eternity. Amen. I've got Jesus with me, and he's going to take care of things, and I'm just going to play by the rule, and that is love one another. You know, your life is going to be a whole lot better. It's going to work better. It's going to flow better. The game of life is going to be a whole lot more fun if you will love one another. If we'll just say, you know what, I've got that bitterness, that unforgiveness, all that stuff going around in my heart. I just want to get rid of that once and for all. I need help. Excuse me. I need help. I can't do it on my own. How many have had something happen to you in your life? Man, I can never forgive them. You don't have to raise your hands, probably all of us. I could never forgive them. It's just too much. It's just too much. But you know what? God says that all things are possible through him. You're right. You can't do it on your own. It is a bad thing, and it wasn't right, and it wasn't fair, and you were the victim. But you know what? God came. Jesus came to turn victims victorious. Amen? He came to turn you into an overcomer. He came to say, you know what? We're going to take what happened to you, and we're going to turn it. We're going to use it for good. You're going to be stronger than ever. He's going to heal you from the inside out. But you got to turn to him to get that help. You're right. You can't do it. People say, man, I can't do that. I'm like, you know what? You're right. You can't do it. But with God, you can do it. Amen. With Jesus, you can do it. The Bible says that the love of God has been poured or shed abroad in my heart. I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. And that's why God said, you know what? You're going to need help loving people. You're going to need help forgiving people. But it's so important. It's so important in this game of life. I'm going to give you some help. I'm going to put in the love of God into your heart. And it's going to supercharge your heart. And you're going to be able to forgive people that you never thought you would be able to. But you know why we can't? Because God took a picture of his love and just went, here you go. Here's some help, and poured it right into you. And it's going to give you the power to do what Jesus said to do. And that's love people. Amen. Love people that hurt you. It's easy to love people that love you. Isn't that easy? That's easy. Oh, you love me? You think I'm wonderful? I love you too. Oh, isn't that great? We love each other. That's so great. That's easy. Jesus said everybody can love people that love them. What comes difficult and why we need the love of God is Jesus says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use your name. Turn the other cheek. Love one another. Amen. But you know what? In the game of life, this is a key, because how many of us have met someone or we've been that person that has let a hurt, a wrong, it robbed us of that time, but now it's robbing us every day past it because we can't let go. We can't get over it. We can't move on. And it's affecting our marriages. It's affecting how we raise our kids. It's affecting every part of our life. And so that person that hurt you, injured you, harmed you, they didn't just grab that moment, that childhood, those days, those years from you. You are allowing them to grab every day after. And you got to say, you know what, that's enough. You've taken enough from me. And the only way to do that is to pull on that love that God has for you. Pull on that love that God poured into your heart and say, you know what, with God's help, I'm going to forgive. Forgiveness doesn't make somebody right. If I forgive you, I'm not saying, oh, what you did was right. No, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't say what was done to you is okay. Forgiveness doesn't make that person right. Forgiveness doesn't fully make you back into a relationship with trust. Trust and forgiveness are two very different things. Forgiveness is given and trust is earned. So often we don't forgive people because we're like, well, I can't forgive them because I don't want them back in my life. You can forgive somebody and say, keep back. I forgive you, but there's no place for you in my life. But you can still forgive them. Amen. And so I encourage you, this isn't even on my notes, but this must be for somebody in here today. I encourage you, don't let whoever hurt you, robbed you, stole a day from you, stole a year, stole a childhood, don't let them steal one more day. Here's what forgiveness does. Forgiveness doesn't set that person free. Forgiveness sets me free. Amen? It's like, you ever watch the show Biggest Loser? I like that show. You know, it's where, you know, big people lose a bunch of weight. That's why they call it The Biggest Loser. And so usually on the show, what they'll do is they'll add up how much weight somebody has lost, and they'll put it in a backpack. And so, like, somebody will carry around, like, 100 pounds in a backpack. And they're like, man, this is so heavy. But you know what? Just a few weeks before, they were carrying that on their body because that's how much they weighed. And, you know, and then they're like, man, this is so hard. And then when they let those weights down, they're like, oh, this is so much better. You know what? That's what life is like when you're carrying unforgiveness. You know, you can be carrying it and not realize how much it's affecting your life. You can be carrying it and not realize how much it's hurting your marriage, how much it's hurting how you're raising your kids, how you're dealing with people. But when you get that weight off, you're going to be like, wow, I had no idea. This was so heavy on me. But that's what God can do. But we got to be willing. The power of God is there and available for you to do it. The Word of God is there, available and ready for you to use it. You just got to make the decision to say, you know what? I'm going to forgive that person. I forgive them in Jesus' name. And you know what? All those feelings of anger and resentment and hurt, sometimes they're still there. We forgive by faith. We don't go by feelings. Just because you still feel that way doesn't mean you haven't forgiven them. Because the Bible says we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And so when those feelings all come back, how many have ever had that happen? You forgive somebody, and all those feelings, sometimes they're even worse. You know what? You just say, you know what? Those are just feelings, and they're normal, and they're natural. I don't go by those. I have made a declaration. I have made a decision to forgive that person, and I'm walking on. Amen? I'm walking on. And then as you do that, you know what's going to happen? Those feelings aren't going to have the same power over you after a little bit of time. They're not going to wield the same effect on you that they do right now. Because you have forgiven by faith, you're walking out of that. You're walking out of that. Oh, isn't that good?
Yes.
God is so good. I just encourage you. Don't let, you know, there's people, and you know, you say, why do bad things happen to good people? Because we live in a fallen world where the enemy, unfortunately, has people that don't know any better, or they've been hurt, and so they hurt people. Hurting people hurt people.
Yes.
So why does that happen? Because there's an enemy going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he uses people to do it. So don't get caught up in the why. Get caught up in the victory. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love towards me, he's given you the power to get through some things. Amen? He didn't author it. He has no part in it, and he'll get you out of it. Amen. He'll get you out of it. But you got to turn to him. Amen. You got to turn to him. All right, let's keep going here. So Jesus said, that was a whole little semi-message there. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. You know, when it comes to loving people and stuff, you know, the saying, what would Jesus do? That really comes in. What would Jesus do? When Jesus forgives, you know what he does? He doesn't bring it back up to us. Aren't you glad that God doesn't call down from heaven and say, I remember what you did? Aren't you glad God doesn't do that? Aren't you glad God doesn't, you know, every time we go to him, you know, like Hebrews tells us to go boldly before the throne of grace. It's called a throne of grace, not a throne of condemnation, not a throne of remembrance. God could have called it anything he wanted, but he called it a throne of grace. Amen? It's not a throne of remembrance where we go in there and God remembers everything we've ever done wrong. Aren't you glad that's the case? When I go to God, he doesn't bring up everything I've done wrong. He doesn't bring up my past. You know what he does? He just showers me with love, kindness, forgiveness, mercy, righteousness, redemption, restoration. Amen? That's what God does, because God is so good. Amen. So anyway, I just encourage you, remember, God loves you. He cares about you. And a lot of times, you know, people, and I'm just going to go here. You know, when it comes to forgiveness, we talk so much in church about giving it. But there's also a point of receiving it. Amen. Receiving it. You have to be able to give forgiveness. But you also have to be able to receive forgiveness. And this is an area that we don't talk a lot about. But, you know, my very first sermon that I ever preached in my whole life was in Bible school. And you know what it was called? receiving forgiveness. I still have it. I still preach it every once in a while. But you know, that was my message. Every preacher has a message that's theirs. It's their life. That's mine. I could stand up here and bring back to remembrance some things that would make your hair stand up. Things I've done, places I've been, things I shouldn't have done. But you know, I'm so glad that I received forgiveness so that I could move on into the call of God for my life. We have all messed up. Some more than others. But you know what? God doesn't grade like that. The Bible says that all sin is equal. All of it's equal. Aren't you glad about that? You know, sometimes we're like, that doesn't seem very fair. I don't want fair. I want mercy.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not interested in fair. I'm not interested in fair at all. I don't want it to be fair because if it's fair, I'm going to lose.
That's right.
I want mercy. Mercy gives me what I need, never what I deserve. And so you know what? You're sitting here today and maybe you're on the other side of that forgiveness. Maybe you need to receive it. Receive it from those who love you that have forgiven you. And most importantly, receive it from God. Receive it from God. Here's how you know if you have not fully received and you don't understand the power of forgiveness. When you mess up, you run from God instead of to God. And then let's say that you're partially there. You still run to God, but the whole time you got your head down and you just keep apologizing. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done it. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And then when you need something, you're hesitant to go to God because you think he won't give it to you because of what you've done.
Right. Do
anybody ever been there? I've been there. But the Bible says in Hebrews, let's turn there. This is totally off the subject, but let's go there. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's see where we're going to go here. Somebody help me. I'm looking boldly before the throne of grace to make our petitions known. Yeah, there we go. Praise God for Bible thumpers in your service. Help you. Hebrews chapter 4, sorry, not 11. Chapter 4, verse number 16. Well, let's start in 14, so it's just so good. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Verse number 15. This is so good. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse number 16. Here we go. Hold on. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, isn't that good? You don't have to run from God. You don't have to be hesitant to go to the throne of grace. You don't have to be I meet so many times people and I'll say, you know, let's pray about it. Oh, no, I just can't. I can't pray about it. I'm like, why? Oh, because of what I've done, where I've been. I'm like, God loves you. God forgives you. Oh, I know he loves me. I know he forgives me. But it's kind of like he's still punishing. You know, you feel like you've got to be sad, and you've got to carry the weight of guilt, because then that makes you feel like you're helping in getting in taking care of it. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes you say, "Man, you're forgiven," but yet still they're like, "Oh, you know, I can't rejoice because you know I gotta pay a little bit for what I've done. I gotta pay a little bit." And you know what, God? That's nowhere in the Bible. The Bible says there is therefore no condemnation who are those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's nowhere in the Bible. God forgives us. He forgives us. Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses. He sympathizes. He says, you know, hey, I understand. He doesn't condone, but he understands. And so this scripture here is so powerful because it says, let us there come boldly. You don't have to have your head hanging down, your tail between your legs, crawling and being like, well, I don't know. No, we're supposed to walk in boldly. This is my Father's house who loves me like no other. Amen. This is my Father who sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for me. So often we're like, you know, oh, God's going to be angry. But you've got to remember, it was God who sent Jesus. Amen. It was God who sent him because of his love for us. And so when we mess up, we screw up, we're not right, we don't do the right thing, we got to remember, you know what? I got a God who loves me. I got a high priest who sympathizes with me. And he said to come boldly before the throne. So you got to march into the presence of God, because you know what you're going to find there? It's a throne of grace. And he says that we may obtain mercy. I love the word mercy. I live the word mercy.
Amen.
Amen. I love that word. And sometimes people think grace and mercy are the same thing. They're not the same thing. They're similar, but they're not the same thing. Mercy is when you get what you need, not what you deserve.
Amen.
How many think that sounds pretty good?
Yes.
But grace is what empowers mercy. The grace of God empowers mercy. And so when I go to the throne of grace, I'm not going to get a talking to. I'm not going to get a finger wag. I'm not going to get a I told you so. I'm not going to get what were you thinking. You know what I'm going to get? I'm going to get mercy. I'm going to get mercy. Let's keep going here. He says, may obtain mercy and find grace. That's the power of God. Grace can be defined as God's riches at Christ's expense. The Bible says in Ephesians that the grace of God abounds towards me. It's all God's power, all God's ability, all of his love, all the good stuff of God is balled up together, and it's called grace. That's a good way to look at it. And he says, I'm going to get mercy, and I'm going to find grace. And what's it going to do? Is it going to give me a lecture? Is it going to make me pay? Is it going to put me in the corner? No, it's not going to put me in the corner. You know what it's going to do? It's going to help in time of need. It's going to help in time of need. Man, we got to get this so through our heads, so through our hearts, so that when we mess up, because how many know, look at your neighbor and say, it's going to happen. You're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. You're going to say something you shouldn't say. You're going to hurt somebody's feelings. You're going to do something you shouldn't do. You're going to forget something. Something's going to happen, because that's just life. None of us are perfect. And we're going to need help. We're going to need help. And we got to remember, man, I got to run to Jesus. I got to run to that throne of grace. I got to go there to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
The Bible says that he is our helper, that he is our strong tower. Amen. He is our ever-present help in time of trouble. But you got to be able to receive forgiveness and realize that receiving forgiveness, it's you don't pay for that. You don't pay for it. You receive it. See, don't act like you're forgiving somebody if you're still making them pay. You're not forgiving them. Because if that's your understanding of forgiveness, that's how you think God's going to be with you. You know, we're not schizophrenic, right? Hopefully. If you are, we'll pray for you. You know, we'll lay hands on you. But, you know, who we are is who we are. And you, who you are with people is how you are with God. And if when it comes to forgiveness, you still think you got to pay, then when you ask forgiveness from God, you're still going to say, well, I still have to pay. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus already paid.
Hallelujah.
Amen? He already paid. And so I just need to receive it. Receive it. Receiving is hard for people. You ever tried to give something to somebody and it's free and they keep trying to give you money? You're like, no, it's free. Some people have no concept of free, which is so strange in our society, but every year for our fall festival, we give away free hot dogs, free. And every year somebody tries to pay us.
Yeah.
No, it's free. Oh, well, just take this. No, you're still trying to pay for it if I take it. It's free. Oh, but here you go. No, if you want to give an offering, come to church on Sunday. Drop it in the bag. But today, that hot dog is free.
Amen.
Amen? But it's hard for people.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for people to receive. If you can't receive a gift from somebody, you better watch out. Because you may not be able to receive from God either.
That's right.
Ooh, that's good preaching.
Wow.
That's good preaching.
Amen? You got to be able to receive. It's giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. I got to be able to give forgiveness, but I also must be able to receive it. I got to be able to give money, but I also need to be able to receive it. I got to be able to give help, but I also got to be able to receive it. How we receive from people is how you receive from God. If you can't receive from people, you can't receive from God. Because you're not schizophrenic, are you? You're not two different people. You don't have a split personality, right? How you are is how you are. And so we got to work on that. We got to work on that. So you know what? Maybe your neighbor needs some help working on receiving. So why don't you give them something? Amen. Why don't you give somebody your life? Help them out. Give them a free lunch. You know, whenever you buy somebody lunch, they're always like, well, I'll leave the tip. I'm like, no. If I pay the whole way. Because that's how God does it. If I'm going to buy your lunch, I'm going to pay the tip too. Because it's a free lunch.
Amen.
Amen. And when you buy my lunch, you better leave the tip. Amen. Because it's a free lunch. Because if I have to pay anything, then it wasn't free, was it?
Nope.
I want a free lunch. I want to give free lunches. I want to receive free lunches. Because I want to be able to receive from God.
Amen.
So let's receive some forgiveness. You know, there's just a little bit of heaviness in here today. And I believe that just in the Spirit, not that we're getting all weird or anything like that, but you know, we want to be led by the Spirit of God. I had a whole message up here. Look how good this is. I had a whole message, but God stopped us. Because somebody needed to hear about forgiveness. Giving it and receiving it. And so let's just pray together. And maybe you're here today and you got to give some forgiveness. Or maybe you need to receive forgiveness. But I'll tell you what. If you want, you can come up here, write your email down, and I'll email you my first sermon that I ever preached, Receiving Forgiveness. And I'll tell you why that was my first sermon. Because I knew that I was called of God. I knew that God had called me. I was in Bible school preparing to be a minister. And the enemy constantly tormented me, because that's what he does. He constantly tormented me saying, how can you be a minister, be a pastor, if you've blah, 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 blah? How can you plan to teach people the Word of God when you've done these things? And I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost rose up big on the inside of me one day and said, you have to understand forgiveness. That when God forgives you, the Bible says that He removes that as far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
Amen. He cleanses you. He blots out every sin from your life. He takes it. The blood of Jesus doesn't cover sin, you know, so it might pop up one day. Amen. Isn't that what happens when you cover stuff up? It pops up, right? Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't cover stuff. He washes it away. It is removed from you. It is no longer part of who you are. It's not your DNA. It's nothing. It's not you anymore, because you are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. And you know what? If you're like me and you blew it after you got born again, then the enemy says, well, you became brand new and you got born again, but after you were brand new, you did all that stuff. And he's right, I did. But that's where I had to learn about the forgiveness of sin. And I had to receive the forgiveness of God so that I could stand and walk not in my righteousness, but in His righteousness. He makes me righteous. He makes me able to stand here and preach the Word. He empowers me. It isn't about me. It's about what He's done in me and through me. But if you're all bent with condemnation, and here's what condemnation does. It pushes you down. It brings shame into your life. That's not from God. That's from the devil himself. And so you'll never be able to live the life God has for you when you live in shame. I have things that naturally I could be very ashamed of. And I wish they had never happened. But they did. And I was there. And I did it. But I'm so grateful for the blood of Jesus. For the forgiveness, for the mercy of God that said, I am not the mistakes I've made. I am not the poor choices I've made. I am not my past. I am a child of God. Amen? And so if that's you, come up here. Put your email down here. I'll send it to you. I won't tell anybody. It's between you and me. I don't blab. You can't have this job and be a blabber. It just wouldn't work. You know, but let's pray. Wherever you are, whether you need to give it or receive it, let's just take care of some business this morning. All right, we got Super Bowl parties to go to. Let's go free from sin. Amen. Let's go. Let's take the weights off and go and have a good time tonight and walk in forgiveness and freedom and victory and love and liberty. Let's do that. Won't that party tonight be a whole lot more fun? Or what? Or those commercials you're going to watch, whatever you're doing. Let's take care of some business this morning in the supernatural. Let's do some cleaning on the inside. So let's just all just be in an attitude of prayer and pray together. Father, I just pray for every person here today. Lord, I just thank you that you are so good and kind and merciful, Lord, that you always, every time, all the time, your word says that your mercy is new every morning. Every morning I get a new batch of mercy for me, and I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that I will never, ever, ever get what I deserve through you, but I will always get what I need. And so, Lord, today, all of us here together, Father, I just pray for anyone here that needs help in forgiving someone. I pray for everyone here who needs your help in forgiving someone. Lord, we come boldly before the throne of grace this morning to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, we're in a time of need. We need to forgive. We need to be free from this hurt, this unfair situation. And Lord, we just say right now that we forgive by faith. We don't feel like doing it. We don't even really want to do it. We just know that it's right to do it. And it's your word. And it will do so much for us. And so, Lord, we do it because we trust you. So, Lord, right now, so wherever you are, let's just all do this together. Right now, Lord, I just forgive whatever that situation is, whatever that person is. I forgive them right now in Jesus' name. I release them. I release the situation. I do not accept payment or anything from them. I release them from this, from what has happened. Lord, I can't do it on my own. And I'm so thankful that your love has been poured into my heart and it empowers me to forgive. Lord, I know that my feelings are going to take a while to catch up. So every time those feelings come, I'm just going to speak the truth. I'm going to make a declaration that I have forgiven. I have made a declaration that that person is released, is forgiven in my life. I thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, I thank you that forgiving them sets me free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I pray for anyone here that needs to receive forgiveness, needs to understand the power of a fresh start, needs to see and have a revelation where it's not just head knowledge, but it is through and through spirit knowledge. That, Lord, that they receive a revelation of the power of your forgiveness. That you restore, you wash clean, that Lord, that when we ask for forgiveness and receive it, we stand before you as if we had never sinned before. Father, I pray that you give everyone here a revelation of the power of a godly forgiveness. Help them to receive. Help them know they are greater than their mistakes. Help them know that the past is the past. Help them know that you can restore brokenness in people's lives. Lord, help them know that you can make them an overcomer of those things that they feel are bringing them down. Lord, help them know that with you, all things are possible. Oh, help us walk in freedom of condemnation, freedom of shame and guilt. Lord, help us to walk in liberty with you. Oh, we're just so grateful, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help us be givers and receivers. Help us be givers and receivers. In Jesus' name, we receive forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Oh, ain't God good. I hope some people in here feel like those people on The Biggest Loser. You just dropped some weight. Amen. Dropped some weight. But you know, the enemy, what does he do? He always comes to steal. Always, every time. Don't be shocked when the enemy comes to steal what you got. Be ready for it. When he comes to steal, say, no. Sure, my feelings. I still feel that way, but I don't go by feelings. Aren't you glad you're not your feelings?
Amen.
How many of you met somebody that's totally ruled by their feelings? They're up, down, all around, everywhere. No stability, but we don't go by feelings. The Bible says I walk by faith. I walk by the Word of God, and the Word of God says I forgave them. Amen? And so, you know, I just encourage you. We went on a different path today, but I believe it was what the Lord wanted us to do. And we're free from that. We're going to have a lot better time tonight at that Super Bowl, whatever you're doing. Because when the enemy comes and says, how? You say, nope, I'm forgiven. What about nope? Under the blood of Jesus. What about nope? Removed from me completely. I have a brand new, fresh start. Ooh, ain't God good. Ain't God good. Let me just end with this. You know, we're probably all going to miss it again, right? We're all going to make mistakes. And I remember just I'll never forget this moment, and I share it often, but people need to remember it. I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, how many fresh starts are you going to give me? And just, you know, I'm not one of those people that hear an audible voice all the time, but I'll tell you what, the Spirit of God rose up so big on the inside of me, I felt like somebody was talking. And these words came up, Peggy, I'll give you as many as you need. And he always has. Amen. Never run away from God. He loves you too much. Always run to him. Always run to him. Amen. All right. Well, glory to God. God's so good. Wish you would have told me that last night when I was working on my message. No, I'm just kidding. All right. How many want to give to the Lord today?